This morning, I guess you would say I'm not the traditional pastor. A lot of you have figured that out by now, and you're still coming back, which is kind of funny. But on Mother's Day, I know a lot of people expect a passage about mothers. You know, Father's Day, they expect a passage about fathers. Well, I don't do that. And so the passage I'm going to share today, this morning, man, you guys should have done that. Or done it earlier where I could have got over it before I got up here. The passage I'm going to share this morning is one that sometimes we don't like to really get into and look at. It's in the Old Testament. It's in Exodus chapter, it's going to start in 11, and I'm going to jump some verses because a lot of it, there's a lot of repetitive in there. And I'm going to pull out some spots that I don't think I'm taking it out of context in any way, but I think it's one of those things where the part I want us to focus on this morning is the part that we're going to look at. And so when Melissa asked me what chapter and everything, I had been on medication from having a wisdom tooth pulled out Thursday, and so obviously you can see that I was, that's going to be the main verse, but that's not where I'm going to start. So, but anyway, this passage, we all hear about the 10 plagues that were sent on Egypt, you know, and we know how God was going to send Moses to Pharaoh and have him. I just about fell over. If I do, just keep listening. I'll keep talking. But Pharaoh would not let the children of Israel go, and so Moses was going back, and he went through all these plagues. And I'm sure probably most of us couldn't name those 10 plagues in order, but that's not what this is about. We're going to focus on what I think probably most of us know, and that's that last plague. And it seems like such a terrible plague. It's the death of the firstborn. Well, this morning I want us to look at that plague and look into it and see what's behind it. So if you would read along with me, and I will tell you when I'm jumping passages. But I'm going to start in chapter 11, verse 4. So if you try to read along with me. Then Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn of the land shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. Then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall be like it again. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow to me and say, 'Get out, and all your people who follow you.' After that, I will go out." Then he went out from Pharaoh with great anger. And we're going to jump down to 12, verse 3. "Speak to all," and this is God saying, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of the month, every man shall take of himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count. For the lamb, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it." Now we're going to jump to verse 12. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you are, and I will see the blood, and I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." And now last, let's jump to verse 29. "And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon. and all the firstborn of the livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all of his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said." Let's pray. Father God, we lift up your word. Lord, we see your guidance. We see your protection. We see everything that you've done through the Old Testament as we read these passages. We read these stories of how you have touched their lives. Father, our prayer today is that you use this same thing. You use your word. You make it come alive and you touch us. You guide us. You lead us the same way you did those people. Lord, help us to see what you have for us today in your word, that we would be able to honor you and glorify you and just praise you in our minds as we think about who you are. We thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. As we read and kind of jump through those passages like I did, it's one of those things that we don't like to look at that plague because we think of all the terrible things that happened, but of all the great things that happened. As I'm studying this week and I'm really struggling trying to figure out exactly what I was supposed to get out of this. And I woke up one night and my wife's like, "Okay, what just happened?" Because she saw me set up and I start writing down stuff on the notepad beside the bed because I will not remember it in the morning, and she knows that. And it was this passage, and it was the understanding of what was God's plan. Did you ever think about that? We know the children of Israel were His chosen people. They were His, what He considered His firstborn, the children of Israel. They were His people. And He had a plan for them. And I began to look at this plan, and I began to break down this plan to try to understand it. And it went so close to a verse in the New Testament of the same thing that He has for us. We look at all of these things, and God had a plan. When I'm sure a lot of those children of Israel, there's over 6,000 men, and not counting the children and other people, and then there was a mixed multitude that went with them out of Egypt. And I'm pretty sure that of all the people that went out of Egypt, there was a lot of them that did not understand what took place. They did not understand what was going on that night when Dad said, "Hey, you got to stay in the house." Or Dad went over to the neighbor and he brought the neighbor into our house. And I'm sure that there were some people that didn't understand why that had to take place. But then when they realized the next morning that every house that didn't have that blood was affected, even if they didn't understand it, I'm sure they appreciated it. And sometimes I think that's where we are. We appreciate some of the things God has done, but do we understand why? Do we understand why He did what He did? He had a plan. And He had a purpose. And at the end of it, He'll have a promise. But I want to look at this plan first. And you'll tie this in probably with Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But He had a plan, and I wrote it down like this. God demonstrated His plan for them that while they were still slaves in Egypt, a lamb would have to be sacrificed and its blood put on the doorposts of the house so that they would be protected from death and be set free. Any house without that blood on the doorposts would have their firstborn struck dead. God had a plan, and He demonstrated it by saying, "Take this lamb and do this." And so that's what they did. They didn't really probably understand the whole aspect of what it pointed to. But I hope you do. I hope you understand. I hope we all understand the aspect, the understanding of why there was a spotless lamb and its blood was poured out and put on the doorposts so that they could be set free. because that's what God told him to do, so we know that's the plan. But we also know, those of us that tie this in, if we'll tie it in with the New Testament, Romans 5:8, that God demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so you see where that ties together. You see the understanding of God's plan. God's plan for them was that they would sacrifice that lamb and it would take care of them. It would set them free from the slavery in Egypt. God did not want His children to be slaves in Egypt. And so He set up a plan that they would be able to be set free. And it was the sacrifice of a spotless lamb. And then you and I have the opportunity to understand that that spotless lamb pointed to Jesus. But we look at it, sometimes I wonder if we look at it like we were just one of the people in the house. We were just one of the people that the neighbor come over and said, hey, for your own safety, you need to come in. We're going to do this. They had never done this before. They had never put blood on the doorposts or the lintel of the house. This was something new. Why would they do this? Other than because God told them to. It pointed to Jesus Christ. And so the people that were in that house that understood it, man, they come out and they realize what we've done in obeying God. That lamb allowed the death to pass over, that plague to pass over our house. Today we have so many people that they may have heard about the plan. They may have heard about the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. They may have heard about the fact that He lived a perfect, sinless life. He was that spotless Lamb of God and He died on the cross for our sins. And they look back at it now and they say, yep, that's the Savior of the world. But if you're just in the house and you're just along for the protection, let me tell you, the stories differ a little bit from then to now. Because then everybody in the house was protected. Today, the fact that I have Christ in my heart does not protect my family. The fact that I have Christ in my heart does not protect my friends. We have to understand that back then, the blood covered the household. Today, the blood covers an individual, one at a time. I was looking at this, and out of all the plagues, you can go back and you can see the water that turned to blood and the lice and the frogs and the flies and the darkness, and you can go through all of them, but there's only one that got personal. All of the others, He sent frogs. He sent this. He sent that. Man, check this out. He says in that verse 12 and 13, for I will pass through the land. I'm not sending somebody else. It says, I will pass through the land. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. When I see the blood, I will pass over. When I strike the land. This was personal. These people were keeping His children in slavery. And by sending all these other things, Pharaoh's heart was still hard. But God made it personal. And when God makes it personal, you can't ignore it. But that's what we do. Because when God saw us, He wanted it to be personal. And so He didn't send somebody else. He didn't send an angel to the cross. He sent Jesus, His own Son. He came down and in form and He lived that perfect, sinless life. He became that spotless lamb and He died on that cross personally. And He didn't do it for the Ewing household. He didn't do it for the Smith household or the Johnson household or any other household. He did it for individuals. Understand that it's an individual thing. The plan of God is an individual salvation for you. Maybe you have that already. If you do, I praise God for that. But don't assume that your household all has it. That's what we want to do. I raised my kids in church. I taught them. I read Bible stories to them. I did everything I could. Well, that's great. But don't stop, because you never know. You never know when it became personal to them. Because I had people tell me, I was in church, I had people share with me the gospel, and I pretended really good for a long time that I was that way. And there were a lot of people in my life that believed I was that way. But there were people that kept praying for me. There were people that kept sharing with me that it was a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Until the day that that happened, they never gave up on me. If they had just assumed, he's a good kid, he goes to church, he's in youth, he does all these things, he does right. If they said, okay, I don't have to worry about him anymore, I can go focus on somebody that looks like they need it, then I would have still been lost. Don't ever assume that your family is saved. Never give up on sharing with them the gospel. People say, every Sunday you share that message. That's right, because every Sunday we need to hear it. I need to hear it. I need to go back to it. It's the foundation of everything that we have. If we don't, then what about that person? If I just, oh, Dave's heard it all his life. But if he hasn't ever let it go in, what happens? Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your friends, because God has a plan for you. A plan that cost him, a plan that was personal. And you've got to make it personal to you. But you know, not only did he just have a plan that they would sacrifice that lamb and put the blood on the posts. We could go back to chapters 3 and 4. But it's here again in the last verse I read, when they were told to get out, and they said, go and serve the Lord as you have said. Back in chapters 3 and 4, it tells us that God told Moses, the reason I want you to come out is so that you can serve me, so that you can worship me. That's the whole purpose for this death, for this lamb to be sacrificed and the blood on the doorpost, so that those people would be released and be able to come out and worship him on that mountain and serve him on that mountain. The whole purpose was so that they would be able to come and have a relationship with the Father. Man, what if those people had just, and many of them did, you can read, and many of them did, but they were in the house, and they knew about the fact that death was coming, and so they hide in the house, or they get in the house, and dad or grandpa or whoever puts the blood on the doorpost, and so they end up making it out, and so we go out into the wilderness. Well, I'm out and I'm on my own. I don't need dad or grandpa's religion anymore. I'm set free. No, they weren't set free. They were out of Egypt. Because many of them still followed the gods that were in Egypt. There's a purpose that God brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out so that they could serve him and worship him. Many of them didn't serve him. Many of them didn't worship him. Didn't really mean it. But I bring that to us today, because today, all over the world, people are thinking that, hey, I had the blood over me. I'm good. I'm out of the house. They have the blood on the house. They don't have the blood on the heart. That's what we've got to understand. Because if they did, then they would be fulfilling the purpose. And the purpose is to serve him, to worship him, to have a relationship with him. Did you ever think about this? In chapter 20, God gives them the Ten Commandments, right? Exodus chapter 20. Think about this for just a second. When did he free them? Chapter 8. They didn't have to obey the law to be freed. They were freed by grace. Grace was in the Old Testament. He freed them, giving them the opportunity, getting them out of something. They did not deserve to come out. He brought them out through grace. And He brought them out, and He didn't tell them, okay, you got to figure out a way to be free so you can come out and you and I can have a relationship. No, He brought them out through grace. He brought them out into the wilderness, and then in Exodus 20, He gives them the law and says, now this is how we change who you are. You serve me. You follow me. You allow my word, my law, to change who you are. Well, you know what? If we're going to fulfill the purpose that God has for us, then we're going to have to serve Him. When I accept Him, He doesn't make me be good before I can come to Him. You know, I've talked to a lot of people, and I'm sure some of you have too. Well, you know, once I get my life kind of straightened out, I'll go to church. It's never going to happen. We won't ever see them here. Because if you could get your life straightened out, then you don't need God. That's the whole point. What we need to understand is God knows. He took a bunch of slaves that were living in Egypt. And He said, I choose them. I want to free them. And He frees them. And He says, now I want a relationship with you. And the way you get that relationship is by you get into, they would get into His law. We get into His word, and we serve Him and we follow Him. But too many of us think, well, you know, I've heard about God all my life and I'm a good person. And so I'm okay. I'm not real good at serving. I'm not gifted. I'm not talented. I can't do a lot of the things that people say is serving God. If you can listen, if you care, if you can and share, you don't have to be anything special. Because what is special is what comes from inside you, and that's the Spirit of God. That is God placing that in you to fulfill His purpose. We have to fulfill that purpose today. We were talking this morning with the guys up here before church, and we were talking about how sad of a state our world has got into. But it's got that way because we're not serving the God we're supposed to serve. I've made myself God. I've made my work God. I've made my family God. No, I'm supposed to have one God and serve Him and worship Him. And part of that worship is service. If all it meant was God just wants me to accept Him, then the day that I accepted Him, why didn't He just take me out of this world? It would have saved Him a whole lot of heartache from every time I mess up. Day after day I mess up. He left me here knowing that I'm not perfect. From the day I was justified, when I accepted Him through faith in Jesus Christ, then He saw me just as if. That's the way you can remember justification. Just as if I had never sinned. That's the way He sees me. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus' righteousness is bestowed on anyone that accepts Him through faith. Okay? When we do that, we're justified, but I'm still have sin in my life. But a process of sanctification is that process of becoming more like Jesus. By following His word, by listening to Him, by praying with Him, by praising Him, it's a process that I'm a long ways from finishing, and I will never finish it till the day I stand before Him. Then that process will be finished. But until then, I've got to serve Him, because that's part of that process. I've got to worship Him and share Him with other people. That's part of that process. He has a plan, and that plan was set, and it's for everybody. He has a purpose for every individual. All of us have different purposes in the aspect of what gifts He has given us, but we have a purpose that is the same in worshiping and glorifying the Father in heaven. Are you in a house that just has a blood over the door? Or is it personal? He had the plan. He had the purpose. But then He had a promise. Man, He was going to take them, and He would take them into the promised land. And had they listened to Him, had they obeyed Him, they would have ended up in eternal rest. Man, there was a promise ahead of them that only God could give. And it came through obedience. Now, obedience didn't get them out of slavery. Grace got them out of slavery. And because they were brought out of slavery through the grace of God, they learned to love Him. And because of that, they see the promise. For us as individuals, we know that promise that's set before us. We know the plan that was Jesus Christ. We know the purpose is to honor Him. But understand the promise. Understand the promise that no matter what we go through, He's going to be there. Understand the promise that one day He's coming back for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says that, basically in my paraphrase, that you know, the trumpet of God is going to sound, the dead in Christ will rise, and those who are left alive will be caught up to meet Him in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord forever. That's a promise that I have. That's a promise I hope you have. But that promise doesn't cover the house. That promise covers the heart when you accept the blood of Jesus Christ through faith in Him. So we've talked about the plan, the purpose, and the promise for those people. A lot of them messed up. We talked about the plan, the purpose, and the promise that God has for us through Jesus Christ. How we're to live, what we have ahead of us. But there's another plan that sometimes I don't see. And that's my daily life. Man, I don't understand your plan, God. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? God, I don't see a purpose in the pain that is around us. I don't see the purpose in the fact that things are going, seem to be going down the drain like they are. I don't see the purpose in that. But God, I know You have a promise that You will never leave me, never forsake me. You will be with me when I go through that storm. So no matter what you're going through, understand God has a plan. We don't like it. And there were a lot of people here that they would just as soon stayed in Egypt. Man, we had a job, we had a house, we had food. We had our family all around us. We weren't walking constantly. But God had a plan. They maybe didn't understand it. God had a purpose. Sometimes I don't see His purpose. Sometimes I don't see His promise. But it's always there. So I want you to understand that what we see in the Old Testament with that lamb, none of that would have happened had there not been a spotless lamb that was able to cover each house. What covers us is the blood of Jesus. And nothing is going to happen without the blood of Jesus. Nothing's going to happen without the blood of Jesus. So I pray that this week you'll see His plan. How are you going to do that? You're not, unless you get in His Word. Unless you get into His Word and you begin to read and you begin to understand how God is moving in His children in the Bible and how He wants to use that to teach us and how He wants to move us and mold us. If you don't get into His Word, you're not going to see His plan. If you don't get into His Word, you're probably not going to fulfill His purpose. And if you don't get into His Word, you're probably going to miss out on so many promises So my prayer is that each of us this week will get into His Word. Take extra time this week to get into His Word personally. Allow Him to make it personal. He made it personal on the cross. But He wants to make it personal every day. It's not like, okay, I sent my Son, He died on the cross, you're covered. Okay, move on. No, He is a personal God that loves us, that wants a relationship with us every day. When I wake up every morning, God is there desiring a relationship with me. When I go to bed at night, God is there desiring a relationship with me. When I stub my toe doing whatever, God is there desiring a relationship with me. If I desire one with Him, then I need to get in His Word. Spend time with Him every day. And seek His will for my life. To serve, to witness, and to worship. To honor Him with every part of my being. Well, Pastor Steve, that just doesn't seem reasonable. That's because we're unreasonable. Because that is reasonable. That is what He desires us to do. That's why He sent Jesus Christ to die on that cross. So this week, look for His plan, look for His purpose, look for His promise. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank You for this day. God, we see what the Old Testament was pointing to. God, may we experience it today. Lord, if there be one person in this room that doesn't know You, I pray that they could not walk out of this place without seeing Jesus Christ dying on the cross for them. I pray that right now. Lord, for those of us that are Christians, I pray we see the plan. I pray we see the purpose. All those things that we just talked about, God, make them real to us. Help us to desire a relationship with You to be stronger tomorrow than it was today. God, move among us. Move in us that we might experience You today. God, we love You. We thank You for all You've done. We praise You for who You are. God, receive glory and honor in everything. Give us a glimpse of You so that we can just grab and hang on, because we know You're hanging on to us. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.